Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with another lesson around the topic, Seeking the Lord. As we've seen, the great overarching purpose that God has for people like you and me is that we should seek the Lord. This is one of the reasons He placed us in this world. And Isaiah 55:6 says, Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He may be near. And we've also seen that the best place, the best possible place for individuals to seek the Lord is in the assembly of God's people gathered together to engage in the means of grace, to hear the Word of God read, to hear the proclamation of the Word of God through the gospel minister, and to pray and to sing to the Lord. In all of these things, we are utilizing the appointed means of grace, the means that God has selected to draw men and women to Himself. And as God draws men and women to Himself, He uses a particular pattern. He has a method He is using. And in the back of my little book, You Cannot Escape from God, A Primer on Evangelism, I have a chart or diagram that lays out the method God uses to draw men and women to Himself. And I have this diagram in part on the whiteboard here. You see, we all start out with hostility against God. That's the basic starting point of fallen human beings. And in God's providence, by a work of the Word and the Spirit, God will convict men and women of their sin. And He will then illumine His Word being proclaimed and enlighten their hearts to a better understanding of this Word. And third, God in His grace causes men to be born again. He regenerates them. He gives them new birth. Effectual calling involves conviction of sin, illumination, and regeneration. What is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convicting us of our sin and misery, illuminating His Word in our hearts, and renewing us so that we embrace the Word of God and embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel, we may be converted and enter upon a period of sanctification and growth that leads to final glorification. This in part is God's method of bringing individuals, sinful people, to Himself, breaking their hostility and bringing them into heaven. He uses this methodology, and we call this the application of redemption. It is God's means. Now, one of the very astounding things here is that although effectual calling involves conviction, illumination, and regeneration, there are certain common operations of the Spirit which involve conviction and illumination. In other words, an individual may be convicted of sin and have a real work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, illuminating the Word of God, yet never be born again and never be brought to conversion, to true conversion. Years ago, when I was invited to be a guest lecturer at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, I was going through this methodology on a blackboard with one of the classes. And as I began to speak about things, a man in the back of the room was raising his hand because he wanted to ask a question, and I was putting him off because I wanted to get through at least a part of my presentation before I took questions. But he began to be a little agitated, and he would raise his hand, and he was bouncing around in his chair, and finally he was jumping up and down and shouting in the classroom, "That's not fair! That's not fair!" In other words, he was saying, it's not fair, it's not right for God to begin the process of the application of salvation and then not complete it. It's not fair that some men and women may be brought under conviction of sin and have real illumination of the Holy Spirit, but never be born again and trust Jesus Christ for their salvation. Well, this individual may say that this is not fair, that such a thing is not fair, but this is actually what takes place in the world as God does deal with men and women like you and me. In the 10th chapter of the Westminster Confession of Faith, which deals with the topic of effectual calling, in the fourth paragraph, the Confession of Faith states the following. And of course, the presupposition, the assumption of the Confession of Faith is that the elect of God, those who are called out of the mass of fallen humanity by God and brought to faith in Jesus Christ and final glorification, the elect of God are those who receive in full all of the steps of this application of salvation. And the Confession of Faith then says, others not elect, although they may be called by the ministry of the Word and may have some common operations of the Spirit, as I've indicated, yet they never truly come unto Christ and therefore cannot be saved. They cannot be saved because they never truly come unto Christ. Now, the Westminster Divines appended certain proof texts to this idea of calling and the common operations of the Spirit. First of all, the Westminster Divines indicate Matthew 22:14, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many hear the outward call of the gospel and never truly come to Christ. We know this is the case, unfortunately. And then, with regard to the common operations of the Spirit, listen to the texts that the Westminster Confession of Faith uses to validate this idea of these common operations of the Spirit. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works?'" You see, in the last day, there will be those who say, well, we have special gifts from the Holy Spirit, and we preach vigorously the Word of God. And you're telling us, "I never knew you. I never knew you." Yes, this can be the case. Because you see, it's not the gifts of the Spirit that are telling. It's the fruit of the Spirit that are telling. You will know them by their fruits. And so it's possible to have operations of the Holy Spirit and not be converted. The Old Testament king Saul prophesied with the prophets, but he was never converted. The Spirit came upon him in this way. Matthew 13:20. But he that has received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and with joy receiveth it. Yet he has not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Yes, an individual may receive the word of God and receive light from God and receive the word with joy and say, oh yes, this is a wonderful word. But he doesn't endure. And when tribulation comes along, he walks away from the gospel and from the church and from the word of God. He has received some common operations of the Spirit. And then Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come and then have turned away. You see, now, this is what is added to the text. There are individuals who actually taste the good word of God. And as the writer to the Hebrews says, are made partakers of the Holy Spirit. They have common operations of the Holy Spirit. And they have real light that comes from the Holy Spirit. But then they turn away and are never born again and repent of their sins and actually turn in faith to Jesus Christ. They have common operations of the Spirit. I'm pointing this out to you for a very important reason. You see, you and I ought to indicate to people that depravity is real. We ought to preach the Ten Commandments and the fact that sin is real and pray that God will bring conviction. We should proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and pray that men and women will receive light from the Holy Spirit. We must indicate to individuals they must be born again in order to truly repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ and enter into a life of sanctification and hope for the glory which is to come. We must proclaim these things vigorously. But we must depend upon God the Holy Spirit to carry out His work. And He is better at changing the hearts of men and women and converting them to faith in Jesus Christ than you and I ever hoped to be. Your job and my job is to encourage men and women to seek the Lord while He may be found and not suddenly encourage men and women to say a particular prayer, and after they've said that prayer, declare them converted, because it's our estimate that they're converted by saying that prayer, rather than waiting upon God to convert them and bring them to faith in Christ. I know that this cuts across the grain of much of modern evangelism, but it's the biblical path to evangelism. Years ago, a young man came to me who was a professing Christian, or had been a Christian and had lapsed back into sin. And you and I would say, well, he must still be a Christian. Well, hang on just a moment. He had lapsed back into sin, and he was on drugs once again. And when I presented the gospel to him, he said, I've tried that, and it doesn't work. You see, he'd been in a circumstance where individuals had encouraged him to, quote, say the sinner's prayer, and encouraged him that he was a Christian. But in fact, he had only received some common operations of the Spirit and was never regenerate. And he finally had to come to the conclusion that what he had done and what he had said was not real. It did not work. You see, this is the danger of pushing individuals and thinking that because they appear to receive the Spirit with joy and are effervescent with the Spirit, that they actually are Christians. Wait. Encourage them to seek the Lord while he may be found, and ensure them of the fact that they are really born again and that they have true faith in Jesus Christ. This may seem hard, but I think it is the biblical way. Next time we're going to talk about effectual calling and putting all of this together and seeing how God does work in this process of seeking Him to His praise and honor and glory. Thanks for listening.